What's up, world? We'd like to welcome you to Real Sports Talk Nation with your host, Ty Critchlow.
And Tank the Guru.
And this show is going to be mainly about real sports. We're talking about everything. We're going to give you stats. We're going to talk about the latest news. We're going to talk about personal personalities.
Basically, we're going to be real. That's what we're going to be.
It's all about the real talk. It's all about the locker room. It's about everything. We're going to come at you with our opinions, and we're going to have facts as well. But we definitely want to get into, first, this NBA playoffs. This NBA playoffs has been something crazy. What you think about it, Tank?
To me, honestly, it's been very up and down. Like, you have teams that we know that are very good during the regular season and just collapse during the postseason. And then we have ones that's very shaky during the regular season and then go postseason. And they start to really, you know, get together and really understand what playoff basketball is about. So the first one that you want to go, that we would like to go into, would basically be the Washington-Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that one right there. It's a good start.
And this, and from my understanding, they're down, Washington is down 2-0 already to a Toronto team that we already talked about being one of those teams that's inconsistent when it comes down to the playoffs. And certain players, as in Kyle Lowry, he tends to disappear like Casper when the playoffs comes around, mainly against superstar point guards. But it's been kind of different now.
Well, I must say, when it comes to Kyle Lowry, I mean, like I said, this whole show is about the facts, which is the stats. And like you said, he hasn't showed up in the playoffs in the postseason. But one thing I will say, that's one of the guys I like. So I'm going to defend him in a way, because this year, I think that their team is more so, they're deep. Their bench is deep. So therefore, it's not mainly focused on watching the success of DeRozan and Lowry, because before it was just a two-headed monster. You know, right now their nicknames was Baby Dinosaurs, as everybody knows, but it was because they thought that Kyle Lowry didn't step up in the big moments. Okay. But when it comes to the big moments now, they lean on each other. It's like, it's similar to, I know we're going to talk about them later, but it's similar to like the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Everybody's starting to buy into this strength in numbers, mm-hmm. you know, because right now, I mean, the first game they won, they took an early 1-0 lead. DeRozan did not have the superstar game that everybody expected.
No.
You know, Kyle Lowry didn't play all that great neither, but they looked to the X factor, which was C.J. Miles, who came off the bench, and mm-hmm. he pretty much dominated. He gave them that spark that they needed.
A veteran.
And you have Serge Ibaka. That's one player that we also know that should have been stepping up. You know, I don't know where he's been. The last time we really heard his name was when he was in OKC. Since he's been over here, I mean, it's been kind of quiet. But now he's stepping his game up. And also their big man, Valanciunas. I know you've been seeing him.
My thing with Valanciunas is he's more of a, I'm going to take it out of the paint, maybe a couple of dribbles and a post little hook shot. But what I say, what was going to make them a deadly team in the playoffs, like in the future and further past the first round, would be making sure Kyle Lowry understands the moment of the game. Do not try to play hero ball when you're down by 2 points, 3 points, because he tends to do that. Turn the ball over. He's kind of like, I don't want to say CP3, because we know CP3 has had numerous accomplishments regular season, but the playoffs, we know what happened.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you, but brother, we did say this is Real Sports Talk Nation. You cannot put Kyle Lowry and CP3 in the same conversation. It's no way possible, because even with this guy, his postseason success does not show that he's winning a ring or whatnot, but at the end of the day, Kyle Lowry doesn't show up at all. We know CP3 comes to play hard every game. He's going to do whatever it takes to get a win. But with Kyle Lowry, that's not always the case.
So we can compare him in this state. They both go nowhere in the playoffs. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Your goal is to win a championship.
Right.
That's number one. But I mean, you got to look at the competition. Competition is different as well. I mean, you got somebody in CP3 who wasn't really in the playoffs in the beginning of his career. He went over to the Clippers, taste a little success as far as regular season, as far as being able to compete against the best teams. Look who he lost to. He lost to the Spurs a few years. Then he started losing to the Warriors. And then those teams went on to win. So it's like, okay, you can't compare Kyle Lowry's track record to CP3 because Kyle Lowry didn't show up at all. I mean, DeRozan was the main one scoring all the points. They needed help. They didn't know where to find it. And then he got criticized. So, I mean,
and plus,
that's a little
know,
off.
And plus, we know that in the least conference, so it's...
I don't want to say that neither because now you have...
It's the least.
No. If you look at the standings, the East stepped their game up big time this year. Everybody always, and we're going to talk about this guy too, but I don't want to get into that segment right now. We ain't going to get into the LeBron segment. But anyway, everybody said it was a cakewalk for the Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
And now this year, that's not happening. There's no cakewalk. Right. Everybody has to fight. I mean, you have the Wizards, who's been banged up. All right? You got John Wall over there. But when you talk about Toronto, they're the number one seed, but they're not a shoe-in to make it all the way.
And you know what that's due to? What we talked about earlier. Past playoff experience and failures. They have gone nowhere once they get into someone as in Cleveland or Miami. Like, certain teams, they just don't pan out good against because those players that we need to step up don't step up. Like, now we're then against Washington. Now, my question is, where is Bradley Beal? Where Bradley Beal hasn't showed up one in game one or two. You have John Wall scoring most of the points. You have John Wall basically being a facilitator. Gortat is doing his numbers. Morris is doing his numbers. But Beal, which is the biggest issue with that backcourt, they start to basically diminish. And it's like them two together is not clicking.
But I can't really say that Bradley Beal's the problem because now when you, like, for as far as game one, let's backtrack to game one. When you mm-hmm. look at the stats, Bradley Beal scored 19 points. He shot 8 for 17 from the field at 47%. But you look at John Wall, he's ball dominant. So therefore, you look at his stats, he had 23 points. Automatically, to someone's a regular sports fan eye, mm-hmm. they'll see 23 points that he did better. But he didn't shoot well from the field. This guy was 30% from the field. He shot 6 out of 20 from the field. That's not a good look. I mean, he gets a lot of credit because he's somewhat the leader. But anybody that's on a team that's ball dominant is going to be looked at as the leader. But in that case, I mean, Bradley Beal did a great job while John Wall was out. But there's a lot of different things that's going on with these teams that, you know, Otto Porter. Didn't this guy just sign $100-something million deal this last summer? This guy scored 9 points.
Another Andrew Love.
Oh, we ain't even gonna go there, but Otto Porter, I mean, 9 points is not cutting it. You just inked a 4-year, $100-something million deal. That's not gonna do it.
But you know, we don't go off of how much they make because we know the CBA and all of that have come to the part where they're just giving out money. They're throwing out money like Oprah. So what they need to start doing it, look, JJ Redick, another one. Set almost $70 million for what? What has he really done on the Clippers, on Orlando? Now that's my favorite player from Duke, but he hasn't done anything in the NBA that can say you deserve that type of money. Now back to Washington and Toronto, when you have someone like Bill that's scoring 9 points or 19, but then you look at the other stats that go along with it, as in assists, rebounds, he's not getting any. You have what, two? Maybe, what, 2 rebounds, 4 assists? Like, he's known as a 3-point shooter on that team. You're going 2 for 6, 2 for 9. It's like, that's not helping him. John Wall is giving you points, and he's giving you, what, 15 assists in the first game? That's leading to the other players getting those points. If he don't get those assists, now they down. They getting blown out by, what, 30? Ball dominant, he's doing what he's supposed to do as a point guard. He's giving you those assists and those points. Bradley Beal's a shooting guard. He's giving you mediocre points. They have to find somebody else that's going to give them points.
But on that side, I mean, when you're talking about Washington, they depend on those two players. So at the end of the day, they're not going to be perfect all the time. Their two-headed monster over there is Wall and Bill. And if one of them don't play good, they don't have a chance to even compete in the game. Don't mean they're always going to win if they both play well as either. But at the end of the day, Toronto's deeper. I mean, you look at their superstars with DeMar DeRozan. He had 17 points. This guy averaged, what, 26, 27 points game in the regular season?
Mm-hmm.
And that was enough? No, that's not enough to win a playoff game. It was the supporting cast. You have, off the bench, you have DeLon Wright. This guy scored 18 points, all right? He shot 7 for 10 from the field. With those 18 points, he had 4 assists, all right? But he's not in the game to distribute. He's there to score for them.
Like you said, C.J. Miles.
C.J. Miles, see, it's things that don't pop up in the box score. He had 12 points, but them 12 points seem like he scored 25 when you watch the actual game and the energy that he brought for his team. Like, he carried them. He gave them that spark that they needed when their superstars couldn't handle the load. They couldn't carry the load. But then somebody that I personally now, I hold people accountable.
Uh-huh.
Serge Ibaka, I wanted to see what he was going to do. I needed to know, was he going to come to play or he was just going to be there physically? This guy, he scored 23 points, shot 8 for 11. He was 72% from the field.
Uh-huh.
And he grabbed 12 rebounds. That's the Serge I know.
Uh-huh.
That's the Serge Ibaka they need to win playoff series. You have Valanciunas. He was more aggressive this game. He only had 9 points. But he had 9 points over 6 shots. So I can't blame him much because he needs some more touches. That guy, if you really feature him a little more, he could be dominant in the paint. There's not many centers out there that can guard him. But overall, I just think the Raptors are going to blow this out. I think they're going to win in 5.
Yeah, I give it that 5 because John Wall and I'm not going to just go out for a zip knowing that as much as he's been talking and saying he's the best point guard in the league.
It's not showing. It's
not in my book. But that's here nor there. But he has to show up and get wins in the playoffs where it really matters. Because you won a championship. You want to be known as the best point guard in the league over Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving and Russell Westbrook. You have to put up those numbers. So what we're going to go with is Washington losing to Toronto in 5. So it's going to be 4-1.
It's going to be 4-1. I honestly think they're going to win game 4. I think that Washington's going to win game 4 because their back is going to be against the ropes and no one wants to get swept at home. So they're going to try to put up a fight and make it, you know, respectable. Even though they're still getting smacked around, but them guys are going to try to fight.
I say game 3, they win because you're going back home. It's your first game back home. You're down 0-2. You have to win this. You have to win this game because you go down 0-3, you're not winning that 4th game. It's over. You can throw that series in trash. It's over.
And this is why I like these conversations because you say 3, I say 4. And you know why? For me, I feel like they're going to win it game 4 because in game 3, they're going to come out there and play strictly off of emotions. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. These guys, we're going to see what they're all about. That's why they're in the pros anyway. They prove us wrong all the time.
So we'll be right back with you with Real Sports Talk Nation with Tank the Guru.
This is Ty Critchlow.
Somebody that knows somebody that knows something about it. And I won't answer now. Who, what, where, why? See, a lot of dudes like to act the fool. Now I'm getting on live, but that ain't my style. Now who he gonna get and what he gonna do? Run up on me if you want to. Hot damn pressing his homies. And he's done up in front of his mama. I'm up the floor with him. And I kick in the door and let the phone go get him. I got fools that'll go get him. That's for him and the crew and the dudes that run with him.
Welcome back. We're back. You're back with Real Sports Talk Nation with your host, Ty Critchlow.
Tank the Guru.
Right here live on WBHRNewYork.com. And at this time, we're going to start speaking about another series that's very interesting to us, the Celtics and the Bucks. Now, I want to start off by saying I counted the Celtics out, too. After Gordon Hayward went down first game of the regular season, I said, oh, man, they're not going to do too well. I know they was looking forward to, you know, figuring everything out, trying to get to know each other on the floor. But they had a great regular season. Then come time for the playoffs, right before the playoffs, Kyrie's out. First they said it was aggravated knee. Then they said, oh, he sprained it, so he may be back for the postseason. And then we get the news a week before that he actually had surgery and he's done for the year. So, I mean, this series right here with Boston and Milwaukee is really amazing. I like how much the Boston Celtics are fighting. For me, I had a conversation with someone the other day, and it was like, it was amazing to me because I was talking about the importance of the coaching. Like, this guy, Brad Stevens, he comes in there and he brings that college grit, that mentality to the pros. And it's always about that next man up mentality. Like, we have to step up for our leaders. We have to fight. Everybody's counting us out. We're going to come out here and we're going to compete. I mean, the Bucks right now, I would think they're the favorites, in my opinion. I think the Bucks are the favorites in this series.
Hold on. Back to the coaching. The first mistake they did, firing Jason Kidd. Why do you get rid of that veteran presence on the floor and on the bench alongside Jason Terry to give to, I don't even know the coach's name. Like, when did he become coach? Like, they fired Jason Kidd. I understand he was a new coach going there to Milwaukee. It's a new team. It was a lot of pieces missing, as in Jabari Parker. Brogdon came in. You had Giannis. You know, he's like the star, the focus of the team. But you needed pieces around him. And now we get into this playoff series. Bledsoe.
Who?
Right, Bledsoe. I don't know.
Oh, you're talking about Eric?
Yeah, I don't know, understand what has happened to him since he left the Phoenix Spurs, Phoenix Suns. He was a dominant scorer on the Suns.
He playing that bad, you don't know what team he came from.
Right. It's like, oh, man. You thought when he came here, he was going to help Antetokounmpo with at least 20 to 25 points. But now what you see is like, what was the purpose of the trade? You gave him money and everything. He hasn't really produced. Like, we thought he was going to be that energetic point guard that could really, really get you the ball at certain times and really score when need be. But he hasn't produced.
I mean, Tank, we spoke about this before, too. I mean, you look at Eric Bledsoe, he's not really a point guard. You know, he's out there trying to get his own. He's more of a scorer. He wants to go out there and get for him. I feel that, personally, the trade didn't make them better, you know, by adding him on. I mean, just looking at game one stats, you know, he scored 9 points in 32 minutes. I mean, you're the starting point guard. You should be doing more. He shot 4 for 12, so he was trying to get the attempts up, but the shot wasn't falling at all.
He did better in game two. 5 for 13.
Well, maybe.
With 12 points.
Well, how many assists did he have? Four?
Four.
That's not good enough. Like, you're the starting point guard. You have 4 assists, and your superstar, the Greek Freak, he went out there and had 35 points, and you only have 4 assists. And on top of that, Chris Middleton, the X Factor, he poured in 31. So it's like, where did the assists come from? Because you're not scoring, you're not contributing to passing to your teammates. I don't see how he helps.
Honestly, the only two that's really been there this series is Antetokounmpo and Middleton. I don't understand where the rest of the team was. Dellavedova,
play. You can't blame him. He don't play. He
Jason
don't
Terry is like, I understand you're basically on the way out, but he's a, you know, veteran presence.
I mean, shout out to all the players. You know, what we talk about here on Real Sports Talk Nation on WBHR.com, we come in from the heart. You know, we're genuine fans. We want to see better out of these players. You know, shout out to Eric Bledsoe. We just talking about your performance, brother. You got to do better. But I'm not going to keep talking about Eric Bledsoe, and we're not going to put, I want to put the spotlight over on my man Jabari Parker. I don't know what happened, why everything, because I do want Eric to play better, but Jabari Parker, it seemed like he's got forgotten about. I don't understand why no one's talking about him. I don't want to hear injuries, because he got injured. But when you come back to play, you're playing. There's no excuses. Because when these guys go in front of the cameras and they have a good night, they go, oh, you know, my ankle was a little sore today, but, you know, I'm not going to make any excuses. I came out to play. But when they play horrible, it's like, you know, some people give them the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, this guy, he was hurt. So what is he doing? I don't see anything. He scored 2 points, okay? He was 1 for 5 from the floor. He played 14 minutes. Mm-hmm. He probably got yanked because he wasn't producing.
Come off the bench.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if you're a factor, you're going to play. You don't have to be a starter to produce more minutes. Because some people that come off the bench play more than starters. So, I mean, I don't want to hear that as far as the minutes. I mean, this guy, you look at that. I want to know how many rebounds he had. What did he do? What did he have? He had 4 rebounds.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's no good. I don't like what he's doing. And on the Boston side of things, I mean, I like everybody. These guys, like I said, they're fighting. These guys, they're really fighting out here. Jason Tatum, this guy, I mean, I just hope he didn't peak too early. Because this guy, he's playing ball. You know, he gave you 19 points. He was 8 for 18 from the field, but... You know, he's a rookie, and he played 44 minutes, so he had to be exhausted. Al Horford, this guy's always been a consistent pro. I like what I see from him, the 24 points. He had 12 rebounds, mm-hmm. 4 assists. You know, whatever you need from him, he'll do it. You know, because you know when Kyrie's there, when Gordon Hayward come back, the scoring load is going to shift, you mm-hmm. know, somewhat. And then Hayward would be that maybe like 15 to 10 guy, 15 and 8 maybe. But right now, he's carrying that low, and he's the leader of that team.
Honestly, I put it like this. We're going to go back to Jabari Parker because, like I said once again, I'm a highly Duke fan. And when you talk about Duke, that's a sensitive spot. Jabari Parker, he was injured. You say we're not going to talk about injuries because when you come back to play, you're not injured anymore. But let's look at Steph Curry. When he got injured, he came back, right? He had one good night. And then what happened? He was nowhere to be found in that finals against Cleveland. Who was the star that finals? Kevin Durant. He put that team on his back during that finals, hitting clutch shots. Once again, Steph Curry was injured with the knee, came back, had a good game against Portland, said, I'm back. We didn't see him after that.
You talking about last year's run?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't want to go too far off topic, but as far as that last year run, I have to disagree with you. Because when you look at the stats, it was Kevin Durant and then Steph Curry right under him. Kevin Durant averaged 34, 35 points in the finals, and Steph Curry averaged 28. So he was producing. I don't know if you didn't see much of him
because it
was more dominant as far as Kevin Durant points because the whole LeBron Durant saga. See, when you put emphasis, when the media and the league puts more emphasis on a certain matchup, you don't really pay attention because before Durant, it was Steph Curry and the Warriors versus LeBron and the Cavs.
But then let's ask this question. We don't want to get off topic, but this is the last question I'm going to ask about that. You said Steph Curry basically was like, it's Steph Curry and the Warriors. So in the finals, when it come down to the finals, as we all know that watch basketball, has Steph Curry really produced when the need be, when you're going up against that star point guard that's going to give you those points back? Because when it came down to it, he produced against Matthew Dellavedova in the first one because Kyrie was gone. When Kyrie came back, what happened? Casper, he was gone. The next year, what happened? Kyrie gave him some buckets.
And he gave Kyrie
that.
Some buckets.
He gave, but who was the star? Who basically you could say got the MVP of that?
Out of what?
Andre Iguodala.
Last year's series?
Matter of fact, not even last year's series. It's Kevin Durant got it. Why? Why did he get it?
Because of the LeBron matchup.
Mm-mm.
He outplayed
Mm-mm.
LeBron.
He put more points up and was more clutch. than the man that was supposed to be leading the team. It kind of became Kevin Durant team during that finals. They gave the ball to him every time. Steph would hit his shots. I'm not going to sit here and lie. He made the shots. But when it came down to it, if that's your team, the ball is in your hand. Because they always say that about who? LeBron. If that's your team, you make that shot. You don't pass it up.
Well, we don't want to take away from the Boston Celtics right now. I mean, that's
don't take away from their glory.
Yeah, great job, Brad Stevens. It's all about the Boston Celtics.
Great job, Jason Tatum.
I'm sorry that it took me so long to say this guy's name, but this guy is playing phenomenally. Marcus Morris. Marcus Morris is the heart of that team right now. Like he is the Draymond Green, but better to me because he's producing more points. He's getting his teammates involved. He's playing great defense. I mean, Marcus Morris is doing it all.
I wouldn't say he's better than Draymond. Draymond is more heart of the soul. He's going to do what he has to do or whatever needs to be.
But it's within the system. Draymond Green knew coming in that was his job. This guy, Marcus Morris, came in as just a player, and now he's being asked to do more. Well, Brad Stevens is coming to him to get the troops riled up. Like, he's the guy.
Well, technically, coming from Kansas, him and his twin brother, Marquise, which is on Washington, they were known as high-volume scorers on Kansas. Then when they went to Phoenix, they were good also. But then it became an attitude issue. It was never anything about the game. It was the attitude that got them in trouble. But, like you said, he has been balling out, like 20 plus. Like, the threes is there. He's hitting clutch threes. Him, Rozier, like, that's another one. I love his game. Terry Rozier. Bledsoe didn't know who he was. I don't know how. Because he left you skating in the middle of the court. Like, you were stuck. Your knees were shook. You was on ice. But that I love Boston right now for the simple fact that they're doing it without any superstars. In the league now, you're known to not be able to win anything with one superstar, let alone. But now you have no superstars. They're injured. So it's whoever got to fill in that spot, we're going to do what we got to do.
At this time, I feel like this can be a sweep. The way that Boston is fighting, the way that they're playing, I could see them sweeping. And I really do think, I mean, all LeBron fans, they're going to say Cleveland's coming out of the East. But I think the most dangerous team in the East is Boston because you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know who to focus in on. When you game planning, you know when somebody have a superstar, we know that guy's going to have the ball most of the time. We know they're going to do the bulk of the scoring. Mm-hmm. But with Boston, any man can have a great night. And then when you focus in on that one guy for the next game, then you have a Rozier that have 30 and then Tatum. But like I said, I think that could be a sweep or go five. But we'll be right back with Real Sports Talk Nation on WBHR.NewYork.com. What's up, world? We back right here on Real Sports Talk Nation with your host, Ty Critchlow.
Tank the Guru.
That's right. We're here on WBHRNewYork.com. Now, this next segment, this is very personal for me.
It's close to home.
It hits close to home. So, you know, listeners, I want you guys to know, if you hear me get a little emotional, it's because I'm riding with this team here, okay? The next series we're going to talk about is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
And on this one, I'm going to let Tink start because I got to have the counter because I got to defend my guy.
Listen, you don't have to do much defending because he's a triple dub king. Like, he does what he does. Like, for the past 2 years, he's shown I can do this on my own. I don't need Kevin Durant, the snake, the cupcake. We don't need him. I get who I need to get on my team, and I do what I do. He has he has the Kobe mentality of it's me, Spalding, and the rim. That's it. But I'm going to get my assists. But when it comes down to it, it's me. I'm going to lead this team to the glory land. But what we're going to look at, though, is the disappearance of Hoodie Mello. Yeah, because this hits home real close, Ty. Because, you know, this is New York. The Knicks. And I tell you, when we get through this, you're going to hear a lot of hate on New York Knicks from Tank the Guru. Just know, I love New York throughout. But the Knicks,
You can't say you love New York. Mm-mm. This is not about the Knicks, because I'm not going to go there. My favorite team is the Knicks, but we're not going to talk about it. We're going to save that for another day. But yes, Hoodie Mello.
Where is he at?
Carmelo Anthony, my guy. I mean, we share the same birthday. So it's kind of personal. You know, we both Geminis. It's May 29th. You know, it's just something that we share, you know. But for me, I don't know. I don't know. People were saying that he was done. People say he's washed up. He's finished. The one thing that he did not do was score. He's not doing that. Which brings me to, you know, I'm always going to support him, because once a Knick, always a Knick. That's the motto that we go by here, the real New York Knicks fans that know we stick together. We support whoever comes from the team. But, I mean, he had some moments. But at the end of the day, when it comes to that team, we not just put the spotlight on Mello.
Oh, no.
I don't know what happened to Paul George all year neither. I don't know. Well, you watching the same games I was watching. I mean, he had some good games, and, you know, he had a 40-point game or something against Golden State. That was the highlight of his year. And now he's Playoff P. Playoff P scored
30-something.
About 36. 36 points. Exactly. You know, no assists, okay?
He's not a point guard.
That's fine. 7 rebounds. That's fine. Mello helped out, and he poured 15 points.
There we go.
I mean, you can't ask for much.
Hoodie Mello.
You can't ask.
You are known to scorer.
Listen.
Where's the scoring, brother?
See, this is why I get upset. And listeners, you're going to know through the time that how much of a Knick fan I am. First, he was titled a ball hog. He chucks. He's putting up 30-something shots a game. Uh-huh. Then, as time went on the Knicks, he started taking less shots. Then it wasn't Mello. Mello was washed up. He's not doing enough. So, he scored 15 points. You know how many shots he took? 13. That's not the Mello we know.
13 shots?
He only took 13 shots. So, that says a lot. That speaks volumes, because this guy is known for putting up the ball a lot. But when you have to share, he sacrificed a lot. This man was used to having the ball in his hands, having ISO basketball, but now he's playing in a system where they want him to be a catch-and-shoot kind of guy. And that's really not his game, but he's taking it on because of who team that is, which is the beast, the monster, Russell Westbrook, the triple-double king. Which brings me to another point. I don't understand why they kudos to Russ. Oh, he's the first person to do it since Oscar Robertson. He wins MVP. Now, last year, from my calculations and from the facts, because, you know, you can look at the stats. Anybody can look it up online. NBA.com, check it out. They was a 6th seed last year when he won MVP. He averaged 30 points, 12 and 10. Mm-hmm. This year, on the paper, they look much better, the roster. You know, you have 3 legitimate stars. You got. I'll say one superstar and 2 stars. Okay.
I'll say one superstar,
2 stars,
a star, and an all-star.
Okay. Well,
Mello is the all-star.
No. Not anymore.
Mello is just an all-star.
Okay. Well, it is what it is. But when you have this year, they were 6th seed again. He averaged another triple-double. 4 less points than he averaged last year. His name is not even in the conversation. How disrespectful is that? Now, if you're a real sports fan, if you're really following, and if you check numbers, what's the difference between last year and this year? It's not much. So, therefore, you expect it more because of the personnel he has on his team. But this guy came and produced the same exact thing. So, what does that tell you?
You know why? because they were even fighting to get in the playoffs, basically, because every seed from, I think, what, four and down was, like, close within a game or half a game. So it's like, yeah, you can do that triple-double. Yeah, you're getting the wins. But look at your seeding. You're fighting just to get, like, if you want to go from eighth to fourth. And if you lose one game here, you go from fourth to out of there. So we don't want to put the blame on him, because we know what you're saying is true. He's been consistent for the last 2 years. It's the players around him that have made it look. Think about it. Him by himself again this year. He may have been a dominant 4 seed, and everybody else would have just been, okay, that's 5 through 8. Y'all got to choose. We know the top 3 teams. You had who? Houston, Golden State,
in Utah.
Now, that
their
was
opponents.
That's the new. Yeah, we haven't talked about them. That's the new team of the West. We are seeing now. You have Mitchell, Donovan, with the snaky moves. I actually like his game. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't watch much of him during summer league. I didn't watch him in college, because I'm just watching Duke, that's it. But he's came into the league and really opened a lot of people's eyes, because nobody was speaking about him.
He's a superstar already, in my eyes. Now, this is my opinion.
I'm not going to give it to him yet.
I'll give it to him now, because you can't come. You can't tell me a rookie will come on your team and then that's your leader. Like, it's one thing to come in and you're known for one thing. This guy was not really known at all. This guy came in here.
Devin Booker.
Phoenix. He's a star, but he's a scorer.
He's a
leader. And his team doesn't go anywhere. So you can't put them in the same.
Look at the team around him.
But this guy carries the scoring load. This team, they needed a scorer too, and he came and provided that. And now they're the third seed in the West, which is always the hard conference.
Well, we have to also look at what's happening in the West. San Antonio, no Kawhi. Horrible. You have teams like the Lakers. They're starting to get their mojo, but they're a new team. Memphis, they were there. What happened to them? They let go of everybody. So it's like the West has starting to become just top heavy, like how the East is. It's just LeBron, and you pick Toronto and whoever else is there.
I mean, Kawhi on the Spurs make them a much better team, yes. But at the end of the day, even with him, when he was healthy with them, they still was fifth or sixth seed. They was third win. Because when they played the Warriors last year, they wasn't a high seed.
Then they played them in the second round?
No, Western Conference Finals. They wasn't a high seed. They played in the Western Conference Finals, and he got hurt in game one, and then that was the end of that. They got swept. But when you look at Utah Jazz, like I said, Donovan Mitchell, I give him superstar status already. It's just that he needs to be consistent. It can't be a one-and-done kind of thing. This guy, just look at the game one stats. He scored 27 points. He shot 50% from the field, and that's what they need from him. And he's a legitimate shooting guard. But he had 10 rebounds at that as well. So, I mean, he produces. And Utah Jazz, they didn't really have a go-to guy. And he went over there, and him and Ricky Rubio are taking over.
But you also have to remember they had Rudy Gobert. And he's still a pivotal piece in the middle. But they just got rid of, who else? Gordon Hayward this year. So you have to think about it. You basically got rid of your best player on that team.
They didn't get rid of him. He didn't re-sign.
Well,
he's a free agent. He's free to go wherever he wants.
You got rid of him because you didn't want to put that money up to sign him for him to come back. That's my thing. If you wanted that player, which I say all the time about GMs and teams, if you want that player, put the money up to have him stay there. Don't have him looking around.
I think it was a mutual feeling. I think that the organization knew he was going to leave. Last year, I don't remember the seeding, but it wasn't that high. But when this guy comes, like I said, as a rookie, so pretty much they swap places.
Hold on.
This guy.
George Hill was there also. George Hill left and went where?
Last year?
No. I'm talking about this year. You saying with Donovan Mitchell, since he came in.
George Hill was sent to Sacramento. What are you talking about?
When?
He wasn't there this year. George Hill was there last year. He didn't play this year. He was in Sacramento this year, and then he went to the Cavs. Yeah, he wasn't there. But when you look, like I said, Donovan Mitchell and he replaced Gordon Hayward, and with him there, he produced better because they went. They pretty much have the same team. They added Jay Crowder, but Jay Crowder came on later on after, so they don't really, you know, they was already balling in the beginning of this year. That's why I said I give him superstar status, because this guy, he came in as a rookie, and he didn't look like a rookie. This guy, like, he's been there for a long time. But like you said, I do have to agree, you know, one of the biggest pieces is Gobert.
Donovan Mitchell happened to pop up in the last couple of games of the year. Let's not be so quick to jump and say he did this the whole year. Remember this.
Did you see his stats for the year?
The whole year?
Did you see his stats for the year?
Who's rookie of the year?
He don't have to be a rookie of the
year. No, I'm just saying his stats for a whole year.
Honestly, we don't know. We don't know, because that's not determined yet.
It's like a low.
Because you could say the same thing about Ben Simmons if that's where you're going. Ben Simmons just started at the end of the year with these triple doubles, like the way he went on a rampage. During that winning streak.
His numbers been consistent throughout the whole year, though, is what I'm saying. So, if we talking about Donovan Mitchell coming in here and doing it, once again, it comes down to look at the teams that you're going against in the West. All of these teams are becoming trash. It's only certain teams that you really have to worry about in the West, which is Golden State, Houston, Minnesota just becoming a team, but they haven't put it together yet, because you see what Houston's doing. We're going to get to that. Who else is there? Everybody else is in the mode of, I'm tanking, I'm going around to basically get new players so we can start the West back up to see if we can beat those top-heavy teams. Donovan Mitchell, like you said, he's been putting up numbers. I honestly say we have to see this next year, to see when all these teams have put together and we start a fresh season and see how he goes. If he does this numbers again, if he does these numbers again, okay, then I give him star status. Because he'll basically be a sophomore in the league.
Well, he averaged 20 points, four rebounds, four assists in his rookie season.
All right, so basically he's a scorer. 20, 4, and 4.
He's a scorer.
That's not really basically dominant to me. 24-4.
I didn't say dominant. I said that he replaced an all-star as a rookie, and he put it on notice that I'm that guy now, which he proved time and time again over the year. I mean, this guy, and when it was time for those marquee matchups, that's when he blossomed the most. I can't say that for all other rookies.
Well, Ben Simmons is typically looked at as a rookie. I want to know what happened to all the rest of the rookies. Lonzo Ball, I don't care what anybody has to say. He did what he was supposed to do. He put up his numbers. Bad shooting, but nobody says anything about Ben Simmons and his horrible shot. Markelle Fultz has a horrible shot, but they let that go. Well, they talk about it, but we know.
And once again, to my point, Donovan Mitchell looks better than all of them.
Yeah, but he wasn't even looked at, is what I'm saying. When you're not looked at, everything is going to basically be shined on being a rookie. Like, we came in looking for Markelle Fultz, De'Aaron Fox, Lonzo Ball, and we still was talking about what happens when Ben Simmons comes back from the injury. Now this is basically his rookie season. So when you got four or five point guards or four or five rookies that you're looking at, everybody else is just... Well, if he does good, well, that's good because he wasn't really looked at. He's going to be looked at as a diamond in the rough. And this is exactly what Donovan Mitchell is, a diamond in the rough. And as long as he can stay healthy. Because I've seen players in the league that have come into the league their first year, been a nice scorer, and then the next year, once you realize what happened, they going.
I mean, Don Mitchell's good, but it doesn't matter. They don't stand a chance against Westbrook and the Thunder. I mean, it's just, hands down, the Thunder's going to kill them.
More pieces. They got Paul George. They got
Playoff P? Westbrook. You're talking about Playoff P. Experience. You can't say experience, really, neither. I mean,
Paul George has experience. Melo
don't really have that, but they're looking for him to do more.
From Denver, he has playoff experience.
1 year.
Hey, listen, he has experience. That's all I'm going to say.
I see a sweep, but you could be the judge of that. We'll see what happens.
Utah wins two games.
We'll see about that. But we'll be right back with Real Sports Talk Nation on WBHRNewYork.com. Welcome back, listeners, to Real Sports Talk Nation with your host, Ty Critchlow.
Tank the Guru.
On WBHRNewYork.com. Now, this next series we're going to talk about is the Portland Trail Blazers and New Orleans Pelicans.
Sad. Just sad.
I mean, this one right here. I mean, this series, I didn't expect it to be what it is right now. I mean, what are they, down 0-2?
You lost two at home.
They didn't defend their home court.
At home. And it was supposed to be Dame time. And I haven't seen it yet. I've seen Farouk Aminu with some key buckets here and there. CJ McCollum with a couple of shots here and there. It's like their pieces are doing okay.
This I wouldn't say that.
It's not a bad series.
Because what happened to Evan Turner? I mean, this guy, he played 20 minutes and didn't do anything. I mean, you got to help somewhere. This is the postseason. Everybody got to step up.
And they got him playing like the one. He be coming on the court, off the bench, playing like the point guard. He's not a point guard, really. He's just messing up the flow of the game, honestly. I never liked Evan Turner game. Yeah, that's just me.
He went 0 for 6.
Right.
4 rebounds and 5 assists.
Him and Jared Sullinger have been Ohio State duds.
Where is he? He's still in the league?
I don't even know.
He probably oversees something.
Somebody, please look him up.
Well, I think it was some footage of him over at the Y. But listen, we got Al Farouk Aminu. This guy, he's always been a constant pro.
He's like a piece to a puzzle. You just put him there, he's going to give you minutes, he's going to give you buckets, mm-hmm. and he's going to give you rebounds and hustle. That's what you need out of basically a small forward, power forward when you're going against certain teams, especially against New Orleans. Like, think about it. You're going up against Anthony Davis.
No, we don't want to go there yet. Let's stay with Portland for a minute. I don't want to talk
about how bad they're doing.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of the blame is getting put on C.J. McCollum, but when you look at him, he scored 22 points. He shot 9 for 21 from the field, mm-hmm. but Dame Lillard had 17 points. And he shot 7 for 18. So, I mean, you look for them to do the bulk of the scoring, but their help, they need help. I mean, Ed Davis, the guy, sometimes he's in the starting lineup, sometimes he's come off the bench. He's supposed to be a spark. I don't know what's going on with him. He had 20 minutes of play, only scored 4. I mean, that's not good enough. That's not going to cut it.
True.
You got Shabazz Napier over there. He doesn't get any burn. What happened to him? He did a little something coming out of college. I mean, this guy won in college level. He came to the NBA, didn't get minutes in the beginning, but then you start seeing a little more from him. He showed that he can score, he can facilitate. He was doing a little something, but now I don't see him getting the minutes that he deserves.
Was he in Miami? Wasn't he supposed to play for Miami?
He did play a little bit, and I guess I don't know if he got cut. I don't know what the story was with him, but now he's on Portland. So we see that he's over there, but he's not getting the minutes that he deserves. Maurice Harkless, I expect more from him. He's been there. He knows the system. I mean, he had 11 points. This guy's supposed to be a walking double-double. I need 14 from you. For me, personally. Like, I could be wrong. But for me, for them to be successful, you got to score a little more. I know you're not going to get 20. You're not going to get 18. But give me at least 14 points, 9, 10 rebounds.
Let's put it like this. For them to be successful for the future, they're going to need to find a way to have McCollum and Damian Lillard feel comfortable in that backcourt. Because for some odd reason, during the playoff time,
it's your turn, my turn.
Yeah, it's like they're going through that Miami phase when they just got together. Oh, I'm the alpha. No, you're the alpha today. I'm be the alpha today. No, you be the alpha today. It's like you're getting confused,
you
and then that together. Confuses
gotta,
the whole team.
You have to work together.
So, honestly, like you said, you don't want to put it on McCollum because he's basically been outscoring the star of the team.
Yeah. He wanted to be an all-star, and he didn't get the votes, you know? And this is the second year in a row that this guy didn't make the all-star team either.
He's been gypped.
Damian Lillard didn't make the All-Star team neither until injuries occurred, which I think that's biased. I think he deserved a vote in the beginning. You know, it's he should West. Not replace. But it's Dame. Like, Dame.
I understand that, but it's the West.
But it's really a popularity contest. I mean, you got the only two shoe-ins I see right there. You got Curry.
Steph, yeah.
And you got Westbrook, because Westbrook is listed as a point guard.
Harden.
He's not a point guard. He's
listed as a point guard.
He's a shooting guard.
He's listed at... all right, we're not going to go with technicalities because...
Yeah, he's a shooting
guard. Westbrook is technically a shooting guard. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because if we going by height and all of that...
But you got to respect the triple-double king. Don't you ever... Don't do that.
Listen,
don't.
I respect him because triple-double Scorpio also.
I don't got to do with that. Yeah, I'm a Gemini, right. So I don't care about no other signs. But this guy's a triple-double king. So he's showing that he could be a point guard.
I don't know.
You don't know?
Westbrook is the king.
Triple-double king.
We still have stats that was not looked at back in the day, and we know about that because Wilt Chamberlain was doing all of this before Westbrook was even
thought of. Triple-doubles? I think you might want to look that up.
Quadruple-doubles? Quadruple-doubles? Yeah.
Not averaging it for the season.
Quadruple-doubles?
Not averaging for the season.
We can look it up.
Oh, we can look it up. Quadruple-doubles? He didn't average for the season. Multiple?
You know what it was?
The only person to average triple-double or more was Oscar Robertson. Average. And this guy is the king now because he averaged 2 years in a row. So he's the king. I don't care about what somebody quadruple doubles, what is 82 games regular season. I don't care if he did it 60 times out of that. It don't matter. This guy, two consecutive years.
Okay, so if we want to get real, books, since this is real sports talk, I love Westbrook and the whole nine, his game, but he's padding stats also. It should be no reason why your center and power forward and small forward runs out of the paint when there's a rebound going up.
That's their fault.
That's their fault?
We're not talking about them right now. We're talking about Portland and New Orleans, all right? Now, to go to New Orleans, because Portland, they looking very shaky. They're not making out of this first round. I do expect more from Lillard and CJ. I know they're going to show up. But you look at this. I mean,
I don't think so.
You don't think they're going to show up?
I think it's over.
It could be over, but they're still going to show up. They're going to fight. Right now, they're not putting up a fight.
They can't stop Rondo. I don't see it happening.
It's not about stopping them. I'm talking about fighting, legitimately fighting. You cannot go down without swinging. And these guys going to... Dame Lillard is going to fight.
They've been swinging the first two games.
Not Dame.
You're letting Rondo shoot open threes. It's my thing. Where's the defense?
Let's be real.
Where's the defense?
This is real talk, sports talk nation.
Where's the defense?
Nobody respects Rondo's shot. And that's been going on for years. He's more consistent now. He doesn't take many anyway.
Right.
But he pulled that one in the corner.
But he was killing y'all during the whole game. Him and Drew Holiday.
Well, don't say y'all, because I'm not with those guys. Yeah, I'm not with those guys. That's not my team.
He's been killing Portland this whole series, basically. Like,
he's supposed to. He's a true point guard. This guy... No matter what, this guy has always been that. The injuries derailed him a little bit, but he's always been a consistent point guard, getting other people involved. I mean, look at the last game. He had 16 points. He shot 6 for 11, all right? He had 10 rebounds and 9 assists. Was he padding his stats? Because he's another one that quietly can grab 8 to 10 rebounds a game if he really wanted to. I mean, he got big guys over there, Anthony Davis. Like, Anthony Davis, he had 13 rebounds, but then right after him, it was Rondo. So what does that say about their big men? Sometimes these guards do go and grab rebounds. Some of them are capable of doing it. But obviously, when it comes to, you know, Mr. Westbrook, everybody wants to talk about padding stats. But that's why I follow his motto, why not me? You know, why not? Why I can't be the one to go out there and do that? But back to New Orleans, I mean, I see them blowing this out the water. This series is done.
Matter of fact, you know what? I'm not gonna disrespect Dame Lil like that because I've been rocking with him for a long time.
Or CJ. See, them two are gonna have a breakout game.
CJ, I think
they both have to do it together.
He's a Bradley Beal to me. He's iffy. That backcourt reminds me of Washington backcourt too much.
I can't let you do that.
What?
I can't let you do
that. Why not?
I can't let you do that.
Look at...
I won't let you do that.
Look at it. Look at it.
Who's been more consistent?
Between who?
Bill or CJ?
Well, you could say.
No. I can say.
Neither.
Are you serious?
Because last year in the playoffs, where was Bradley Beal at?
We can't talk about last year. We're talking about this year.
Why? But you said being consistent.
Yeah.
If you being consistent, the year that to the means postseason. You got to be
this
both.
Year.
That's on, the only reason Bradley Beal was even putting up numbers and getting those shots because John Wall was injured. Let's not talk about that because but before he was injured, you didn't hear about Bradley Beal.
That still wasn't my guy. I wasn't going with him. I'm going with CJ.
CJ. All right. So what was CJ doing all year?
Look at the stacks. I mean, the stats speak for itself. CJ's been balling like crazy. I mean, right now, obviously, everything needs more in the postseason. But when you look at their regular stats, this guy's been balling. He should have been an all-star. He should have been a reserve. But nobody, I guess he didn't get the nod. But either way, I mean, New Orleans, it's over. It's really over.
I give it 4-1.
How we not talk about Jrue Holiday?
He averaged 21-4-3.
How do we not talk about Jrue Holiday? Like, this guy, with Rondo being in the backcourt with him, it got him going.
We have to give Holiday respect.
Yes.
You know why?
You can't forget that guy.
He came back from a very, very critical state in his life. I think his wife was battling, I think, cancer.
Yeah, and, nobody talks about that.
She was on the table. Like,
he had to take some time off.
Time off.
He came back early. They told him to go back home. He said he needed that. That was his therapy.
Right.
But this guy, I mean, with Rondo there, because he was always the point guard. He was the guy that had to get everybody else the ball. Mm-hmm. He had to find Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins. But now that Rondo's there, it unleashes the animal in him. Everything that he's been going through, shout out to him. Shout out to my man, Jrue Holiday. I mean, you got to think he's playing for it all. He's playing like this may be his last year, even though we know it's not. But he's out there balling. I mean, he had 33 points. He shot 14 for 24. You know, this guy's, and he still had 9 assists.
Right.
So, I mean, it speaks volumes because Rondo had 9 assists and Jrue Holiday had 9 assists, but he had 33 points. And he technically wasn't the point guard for that game. It was Rondo.
The shooting guard, basically.
He was the shooting guard. They allowed him to get going.
And but once he gets hot and he's shooting, he turns himself back into a point guard because once you basically step up to take away my shot,
I create dribble. For others. I go back to what I know.
And that's why it's good to have point guards and shooting guards that can do multiple things on the court. Like I said, you can't have John Wall sitting here giving you 24 and 14, and then you have Bradley Beal giving you 19 and 3. What is that helping? Or we can go with CJ and Dame. Dame will give you 18 and 4. CJ is giving you 19 and 3. That's not going to work in the playoffs.
No, not at all. Best out of 7, you got
to
produce.
They had their best chance trying to go against the Warriors that year, and it didn't go that well.
Anthony Davis, I mean, it goes without saying.
It's just Anthony Davis.
He's going to ball no matter what. And it's crazy to say that, but these guys, some people have bad days, but when it comes to these superstars, you don't see many of those. I mean, you this guy had 22 points, 13 rebounds. This guy's balling out of his mind.
50%.
50% from the field. You know, you thought they was pretty much done when Boogie went out. You probably would have thought Anthony was just going to score and do his thing, and they wouldn't make it, but he really carried the load.
Shout out to Boogie Cousins, because he really changed his attitude when he got to New Orleans. I can honestly say that. He hasn't been getting thrown out of games.
He's a different player.
He hasn't been cursing out and choking out refs.
I mean, he had the one incident with Kevin Durant. He's about to knock him out.
Listen.
Kevin Durant didn't want no problems.
You know my feelings about KD.
Big Boogie wanted to step to him.
Hey.
But, hey.
Can't be a cupcake.
Can't be a cupcake.
And be talking tough.
But New Orleans, I say they win this 4-1.
4-1.
That's easy.
That's a wrap.
4-1. It's a wrap. But we'll be back with Real Sports Talk Nation with your host, Ty Critchlow.
Tank the Guru.
On WBHRNewYork.com. 3. All right, world. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to Real Sports Talk Nation with your host, Ty Critchlow.
And your boy, Tank the Guru.
On WBHRNewYork.com. We want to also let you guys know, continue to tune in. We're always going to have updated facts and stats. We're going to keep you posted on all the updated news in the sports world. we'd like to thank you once again for tuning in, for supporting us. We appreciate it. Big, I want to give a few shout outs. Big shout out to Ant for giving us the platform to do this show. We appreciate you. Thank you. BJ Carter for seeing and believing in us to introduce us to Ant. And now we all in the WBHRNewYork.com family. But once again, I'm Ty Critchlow.
Tank the Guru.
Continue to join with us. Thank you.